All right, why don't you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God and hear the encouragement. And I love the book of Romans and Paul because it really gives us a lot of direction and a lot of instruction in how we as Christians, how we should be and how we should act, and especially when it has to do with souls and the body of Christ and ministering. And so Romans is really a good book. So as usual, we won't finish the first chapter because it just, unless I could, but we would be here after probably till about 11:30 to the rapture. So so we won't, but we got to eternity, so it doesn't matter. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you were also called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, or to all who are in North Park, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God and Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray this morning as we look to your word. Just bless it, Lord. Multiply it to us. Lord, this is our life. The word of God is our life. And it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, and it just ministers and teach us your word. Lord, let's have eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying this morning. And may not one word fall to the ground, but may it pierce our heart. So bless us, Lord. Bless us and speak to us this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8, we left off in verse 8. So look at verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Now, I really love Paul's example of his priorities that he sets here in verse 8, because we have to prioritize our life. Now, in my life, I'm always telling people, especially in marriage counseling, I'm always saying you got to have your priorities in line. First, God, your first love, your relationship with God, that's priority over everything. Your relationship with Christ, then husbands, your wife, or wives, your husband, then your children, and then your job, and then your ministry. Because if you don't have a job, how are you going to take care of your family? But praise God for me, my job is my ministry, so I get to put them both. Now, I heard a pastor say one time, he says, you know what, if you get your priorities in line, then husbands, if you want to take a day where you just want to spend time with the Lord, you're okay. Your wife will be okay with that because your priorities are in line. Then you'll be able to do other things. But Paul, he gives us a perfect example of his priorities. First, look what he says. He says, first, he thanks God. That's the first thing he does. His creator, God, who is the one who got him through every circumstance, every trial, every hardship, through the good times, through the bad times. And it was because Paul not only knew the God that he served, but he also knew about the God he served. Now, when I pray, I always pray to God. I'm always praying to the Father, and then I go through the Son. And Father God, just bless your people, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. And when I do pray, I always acknowledge him first. I say, thank you, Lord, for being my creator. Thank you for being the one who's got me through all my circumstances. I always acknowledge him first. I just don't come up and say, God, I need this. God, do this. God, this is going on. First, I want to acknowledge him. It's like if I come up and greet you, hey, can you lend me $20? Instead of saying, hey, good morning, how you doing? You know, how's it been? Hey, man, I pray for you. Can you lend me $20? Because you're probably most likely to give it to me after I acknowledge you first, right? No, seriously, can you lend me $20? You know, he thanks God. He thanks God. God is his creator. He knew that his God was all sovereign. And this is the reason why you need to thank God. Because why? God is all sovereign. That means there's nothing out of his control. Nothing out of God's control. It may look like things are out of control, but as God, as far as God is concerned, there ain't nothing out of his control. Your God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. There's never a time where he didn't exist. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. He sees the past, the future, and the present all at the same time. You know anybody else can do that? I know a few people who think they can be like that. You know, God sees it all. It's like a parade, sitting in the parade. You're going to only see what's coming right here, and then it passes. You'll see the middle, and then you see the end. But God sees it all. He's eternal. He's omniscient. That means he possesses all the knowledge there is to have. He knows what's best for you more than you do. You think you know what's best for you? God knows what's best for you. He's omnipresent. He's endless and everywhere throughout time and space. You know what? Not even the devil's omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. But our God is everywhere at the same time. He's here. He's on the other side of the world. He's everywhere. He's outside. He's everywhere because he's omnipresent. Our God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. That means there's nothing too big he can't do, and there's not even nothing too small that he won't do. Sometimes we think, well, God's only, we serve a big God, so he's going to answer only the big things. He even answers the little things. He meets your need, whether it's simple. I mean, I've witnessed just a stick of deodorant. Lord, provide deodorant. God provided a brand new one. It was amazing. I mean, I share this because it's a testimony of how God meets our needs. This sister didn't have deodorant. She said, Lord, please provide deodorant. And she was walking down the street, and she looked, and there's a stick of deodorant in the gutter. Brand new, still wrapped up. I've never praised the Lord with somebody over deodorant before. We were going, praise God. Praise God. Are you sure? Or are you... Praise God. I can say, praise God. There's nothing too small he won't do. He's omnipotent. He's immutable. That means he never changes his nature or his attributes. He loves you. Now, I always say he never changes, but he does change his love for you. He loves you more. And you know, I find out that he comes and he loves me more when I'm not faithful. Can you imagine? That's God. Now, you try to do that. Try to love someone who's not faithful to you. God loves you more even when you're not faithful. And see, this is the God that Paul knew. He put God first in everything. And he did it, why? Because look at verse 8. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that was Paul's Lord and Savior, because Jesus made it possible for him to be saved. Jesus made it possible for me to be saved. If it wasn't for him, we'd be going to hell. You would be going to hell. Hell is real. And I love to tell people, you know what? If you know Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, if you are saved, then this is the closest that you will ever go to hell or be in hell. But those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is going to be the closest that they'll ever get to heaven. This is it. Paul knew the God that he served. He knew that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, and that it was Jesus that enabled him to do the things that he did for the Lord. And not only for the Lord, but for others, even for himself. I love what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Listen to what he said. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our authority comes from Jesus Christ. You have the authority. to go out there and to serve the Lord and to share the gospel. And don't be afraid. I was for a long time afraid of your faces. You know, you got to try it from my perspective here. I come up here and I looked at everybody's faces are totally different. There's not one person here has the same expression on their face. I see. You know. I see all this. Yeah. But I know those of you who have this expression, you are interceding for me. So that's okay. You're having a trance. Yeah, you're prayer warriors. You know? So praise God, he puts God first and he goes through Jesus Christ. Well, was that me? No. Listen to what Paul says. He says, first I thank God through Jesus Christ. And what does he thank God? He says it's for you all. Paul thanked God for the church, guys, for the body of Christ, for the church that was in Rome. Even though Paul never been to Rome at this point, they held a special place in his heart. And you want to know why?
Why?
Look at verse 18. Verse 8. He said, why? Because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That is awesome. Your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Not only did he knew what he heard about them through testimonies, through others, he heard that the Church of Rome was so strong, it was so powerful, that it was being talked about throughout the whole world. Everywhere Paul went, he heard about their strong faith. He heard about their witness and their testimony. He heard about what the Lord was doing to those believers in Rome. Why? Because the believers there were living for the Lord. You know, living in Rome at that time was a bad environment. It was a society that was known for their immorality, for their drunkenness, for their idolatry, for their greed, for their gluttonousness, for their indulgence in practicing of sin and wickedness, for their materialism, for their partying, for their great pride and selfishness. And yet in spite of this society that is just totally corrupt, and yet they were staying faithful to the Lord and to their faith. Think about that. They were standing on the word of Christ. They were living pure lives. They were testifying. They were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this was being heard out throughout the world. Now, I wasn't here last week. I was in Vegas. I was there because my grandson was in a soccer tournament. And it was a big soccer tournament where there were soccer teams from all over the world. Tokyo, Czechoslovakia, Switzerland. All the states were represented. We didn't win one game. But it's okay. He did his best. That's all I require. I said, you guys got, like God, you do your best and you commit the rest. But if there's any society that I just mentioned that's immoral and corrupt, Vegas is the place. Now, because we were a soccer team, they put you in certain hotels. They were in, my son, they were in Circus, but we got there late, so we were in the Plaza Hotel. The bad thing about it is that in the parking lot, you got to go through the casino to get to your room. And the smoke there is just unbearable. Unbearable. Now, this is corrupt. This place is corrupt because they need Jesus. And I thank God for our brothers and sisters who, just like Rome, the brothers who were there, the sisters who were there, who were staying faithful and they were testifying there in that corrupt environment. We got a lot of brothers and sisters who are there doing the same thing. In fact, Pastor Tony's son lives there. He does that. His church does that. And when we were walking, it was me, my wife, and my granddaughter, she's 13, we're walking through the casino to go to our room. And they had a band, a little, maybe half this room, this area, where this band was playing Jump, Jump. You know that song, Jump, Jump, you know, as we walked by, I looked, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. Everybody's drinking, of course. They're dancing, of course. But off to the side, right there in the seats, it's graphic. There was a woman sitting in the seat and another woman who had her legs like this and like this. And she was She was in there, and she was dancing and doing her thing. And I'm thinking, I go, Carmen, look at this. How do they even allow that? It was a immoral society. But you know me, I take my Bible everywhere. We were on the 18th floor, and I had my little pocket Bible, and I carry it with me everywhere. And I got in the, we got in the whole, the elevator, and it went down to the 17th floor. This man gets in with these five ladies, and he goes, hey, if this elevator stops, we're going to party. And I turned around, I went like this with my Bible, or I'm going to give you all a Bible study. And the guy goes, well, I'm a PK. A PK is a pastor's kid. And I said, well, you know what they say about PKs? They said, pastor's kids are the worst. And all the girls there started laughing. And he kind of just went like this. And then when we hit the first floor, he was the first one out of there. And he just, whoop. Yeah, I thought, man, it'd be great. Let the elevator stop. I got my Bible here. I'm going to give them a Bible study. Then on the way back, I have my Bible, and I make sure it's out in the open. I'm like, you know, I want them to see it. This guy gets, oh, that's a good book. I said, that's right. Do you have this book? And he said, yes, I do. I said, great, then. And so I said, then when I got off, I said, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. See, we got to testify. Their faith was talked about everywhere they went. Wherever there was a believer, wherever there was a church, they were talking about their faith of the believers in Rome. Because why? They were serving Christ faithfully. They were laboring. They were being diligent in the Lord. It didn't matter where they were, if they were home back in Rome, if they were traveling. They were sharing and ministering to others for Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. They were ministering to the people so much that some of them were even known by their name around the world. Just like our pastors, the big Pat Chuck Smith, he's known all around the world because of his faith. And Paul himself, apparently, he ran across some of those believers that were traveling about and ministering. So I have to ask you this morning, guys. No matter how immoral or corrupt our society is your faith being spoken of? Okay? Are you standing up for Christ? Are you standing firm on the gospel? Are you being mentioned by name because of your faith? And if they are, what are they saying? As a pastor, I hear a lot, guys. People come up to me and they say certain things about some of your faith. And I say, that's between them and God. That's between the Holy Spirit. It's not our job. We're not, I'm not a centimeter. I don't go around walking outside, you got sin. I'm not a centimeter. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And I have to tell him, you got to let God do it. But me, personally, I want my faith to be spoken of wherever I go. And I don't want to wait till I die because I know some of you will lie. Some of you will get up to, oh, he was the best and I enjoyed him and blah, blah. I want you to say it now here. I don't want people to talk about my faith in a negative way. Say, wow, he's a Christian. What's wrong with that person? Their faith was talked about all over the world. Are you standing up for the Lord? Is your name being mentioned? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Listen to what Paul said. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. 1 Timothy 6, 12-13, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what kind of faith is being mentioned about you? What are people saying about your faith in the Lord? Because what they say in front of you, they should be saying it behind you. Because they may say one thing in front of you, but behind you, they might be saying something else. And I remember 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I shared this, is if you can describe your walk with God, if you can describe your relationship with Christ, can people agree with you? Can they say, yeah, I agree with you? Or, wait a minute, defer here. I can see something different. Look at verse 9. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You know, I love verse 9 because Paul was so confident in the Lord. He wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in God. And so he was able to call God as his witness to his faith and to his prayer life. I want to be confident. I want to be able to say, hey, God is my witness. Don't you want to be able to say that and be confident in it? Are you confident enough to say God is your witness? And if he is, hey, what is he witnessing in your life, right? You know the word witness here? It literally means one who remembers, one who has information or knowledge or joint knowledge of another, one who can give information, one who can bring to light. So pretty much it's very simple what this word witness means. It means that a witness confirms the actions of another. So what is God witnessing in your life? What does he see in your life? Remember, he's omnipresent, so he sees everything. Hebrews chapter 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You guys, we have boldness and access to God himself, right? How many of you believe that? Isn't that awesome? That means we can go to the Lord anytime, anywhere, when we want to. But it also means that he's witnessing everything that you are doing. What you are saying, what you are thinking, every act that you commit, God is a witness of it. He's our witness. That's pretty convicting, but at the same time, it's very encouraging knowing that he's always watching over me. I shouldn't be ashamed, or I shouldn't be trying to hide from God. David said, hey, where can I go to hide from God? If I go to the depth of hell, he's there. If I go to the highest mountain, he's there. You can't run from God. Jonah tried that, and he got swallowed up in a well. You can't run from God. He's our witness. And you know, we can come to him with boldness. Why? Because of grace. Don't be discouraged that God has seen everything you do. Let that be your motivation. Let that be your encouragement to say, you know what? I want to stand firm in my relationship with God. Even though I blow it. I mean, I every time I wake up, I think God's going, ay, 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 Pastor Steve. Ugh. And the devil's saying, ay, 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 what is he going to do next? I don't say, well, I wonder what the devil's going to do. He's saying, I wonder what he's going to do. He's fearing me because I'm going to be about my father's business. But I can see God going, ay, ay, ay. You know, I'm ready for him to throw a chancla at me. You know, that's you know you're Mexican when you get spanked by a chancla. You know. But God is always, mothers, you know you one time, right? Sons and daughters, your mom spanked you with the chancla. Right? Yeah. Dad, he just told you go out and pick your own switch. So I think there was actually a Mexican at that meeting in the Middle East when Bush was there because a chancla went flying and almost hit him. Hey, where'd that guy, Spanish guy come from, right? No, okay, let's. Okay, so see, God is your witness. You know, he's your witness. That means God is watching over, and he's witnessing how much time you spend with him. He's witnessing how much time you pray to him. He's witnessing how much time you read his word and you fellowship. Look at verse 9. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. I love this because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that stirred up Paul to what? Pray without ceasing. The word of God. It's the word of God that causes me to serve him and to love people. He changed my life. The gospel made Paul a man of intercessory prayer. He was always praying for everybody. You notice, you read the word, he was constantly praying. God was his witness that he just didn't talk about prayer with others. When someone asked him to pray for them, he prayed for them. How many times has somebody asked us to pray, okay, I'll keep you in my prayers, and then you walk away? I did that a lot, not knowing that I need to just pray for them. Because, you know, you're going to walk away. You're going to forget. I do. That way, when somebody asks me, hey, can you pray for me? Will you keep me, remember me in your prayers? Let's pray right now. Because if I forget later, at least I'm going to pray for you right now. You got to pray. It was the word of God that stirred Paul up to pray. God was his witness to that. When someone asked him to pray, he prayed for them. He just didn't say he would come out and pray for them out of courtesy or out of convenience. He was an intercessory prayer warrior. And he just didn't pray when the occasion called for it or pray just for a few minutes. Now, we got some prayer warriors. There's some people who can pray for hours. It is amazing. I tried it. And I fall into a trance. In fact, if I fall asleep in my prayer, I end up praying for some pretty off-the-wall things. You ever done that? I mean, I sure, this is so funny. It's like God has a sense of humor. Praying in the middle of a Bible study, and it was my turn to pray, and I prayed, and I was so tired that I end up praying this dynamic, mighty, powerful prayer. And then all of a sudden, I found myself going into a trance. And I said, oh, Lord, I pray that you just bless the carpet. And I heard giggles, and I woke up. And so immediately, I was embarrassed. But I quickly changed it. Lord, save the world. You know? Pray. You got to pray and without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, that's when Paul said it. He said, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. You know, the word ceasing, it means interruptedly. It means without omission. You can't leave it out. You cannot but pray. As a Christian, you got to pray, because prayer to us is like what air is to breathing. And the fact that Greek meaning, or the phrase without ceasing, it literally speaks of like a tickle in the throat, or, you know, like a choky, that choky feeling. That's right. I have right now. And you know, when your throat, it tickles or it's choking, you're constantly coughing. You're constantly trying to get rid of it. Well, that's what it means to pray without ceasing. Go through the day praying as often as you would cough. Just to suppress that cough, that tickle in your throat, or whatever you do to get rid of that, that's what you got to do with prayer. You don't stop praying. You pray without ceasing. I go all day long talking in my mind with God. I'm constantly praying without, and this is my life. I do it. Sometimes you'll be driving in your car and I want to pray. Sometimes I forget I got to leave my eyes open. You ever done that? Well, you're so excited and you want to pray and you get in and you like, I've done that. And I said, whoa. And there was times that, you know what? I know God was interceding. The Holy Spirit was leading me, because I don't know how I didn't crash. Because I was praying. I was so focused on my prayer that I wasn't even thinking about my left to my right, the front or the back. That was God. He took the wheel. He was navigating, because, you know what, I tell you what, if I did, it'd be the same as falling asleep in driving. But you got to pray. And as you do, guess what? The Lord becomes your witness. God can say, yep, you pray. I'm a witness to it because, why? You're talking to God. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, for God is my witness who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer, making requests if by some means now at least I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So Paul, you know, he was praying to God and that God, however you choose to allow me to go to Rome to see the believers there, so be it. Paul was giving the Lord direct prayers, not directional prayers. When you pray to the Lord, you don't tell God how to do it. You don't show God how to do it. Paul didn't do that. He didn't tell God how to go to Rome or show him how to do it. He just said exactly what Jesus said to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass away. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. That's prayer. Lord, your will be done. Give him direct prayer, not directional prayer. Don't tell God how to do it. Just tell him. He knows what to do. He knows you, again, better than you do, right? Look at verse 11. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That is, that you may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. You know, Paul's desire, he tells us here in verse 11, was to impact or to share some spiritual gift to the believers. Now, notice it's singular. It's not plural, gifts. It's just singular, spiritual gift. Paul always wanted to help somebody, and he wanted to help them to be more deeply established in their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be able to minister to them. Now, the term here, spiritual gifts, in verse 11, spiritual gift, it's a Greek word for charisma. It means it's referring to the gift of grace. Now, in Romans chapter 12, it says the same thing, but it refers to specific gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. When you accept the Lord, he pours out gifts on all people. We all got different gifts, right? Some of us got the gift of tongues. I got the gift of tongues, I should say. I don't know what language it is. It's my heavenly language that I use when I pray and I worship the Lord. Some of us got gift of prophecy, gift of healing, gift of hospitality. Don't think it has to be this dynamic, supernatural work of God of raising somebody from the dead. The gift of encouragement, the gift of edification, the gift of just having an ear to listen. We all have gifts, every one of us. And he's saying here, hey, you know, I want to come so I can impart this gift of grace, this from the Holy Spirit that was given to me. I want to impart on you the truth of God's grace, of their faith that he talks about in verse 12. The spiritual blessings that the Lord gives us and he gives to the believer, but it's all revealed in Jesus, our Lord. He's talking about sharing the spiritual promises of the gospel with the believers here. I can't wait to come because I want to give you the gifts. I want to encourage you with God's word. The promise of God's word. He wanted to give that to the believers in Rome. The gift of God's blessings. The very thing that God used and that were in his heart that changed his life and helped him to grow and to be established in his faith in Christ. That's what you should be doing, right? Aren't you happy you're saved? Yeah. Aren't you excited that you have access to God? Yeah. But then you got to share with others. You got to encourage one another with that. We got to tell each other. We got to share the spiritual gift, the blessings of God. The word established there in the Greek, it means to fix. It means to set, to make fast. It means to strengthen. Look at verse 12. He said, that is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, Paul's desire was to be encouraged together with other believers that were in Rome because the word conformed, which is the King James, if you have the King James, it's going to say comforted, excuse me. And the New King James, it says encourage. It means to be strengthened and consulted together. That's what it means. Hey, we need to be strengthened and consult together with one another. I'm encouraged that I can share the Word of God with you. But I am blessed that when you share the Word of God with me. I love it. That's what we're called to do. And Paul's desire was to encourage, be encouraged, and to encourage. He wanted to be encouraged together with the other believers in Rome. He anticipated and expected to be taught and strengthened by them. That's why he wanted to go over there, as well as to teach and strengthen them. That's how it is when you get into fellowship, guys. He's talking about a mutual sharing and teaching, encourage one another together. Now, if you come here and you're not learning and you're not being taught, if you can't be teachable, then you got a problem. If you feel that you're, don't ever get to that point where you're, well, I'm unteachable. Because you know what? Don't think more highly than you ought to think, because God will bring you right down to earth. You know what? Paul expected them to be actively involved in sharing their faith, sharing their testimonies, sharing the gospel, and he expected them to share with him so that he can grow and he can be more firmly rooted in his faith as well. I share a Bible study Wednesday morning at Denny's with men who were in the Bible when I was in diapers. And I'm teaching it. And I said, I feel you guys should teach this. These guys know the word, but they know it by experiencing God in their lives. They know it by gnosko, by experiencing it. Not just know it up in here, but in here. And I love to hear their testimonies. I love to hear their experiences. Well, guess what? We also need to encourage one another with our faith, guys. When we come together like this, we should be able to give and to receive. We should be able to share and grow together, mature together in the Lord. And by doing this, you know what? We're going to benefit from each other. I pray for you guys always that I'm able to minister to you. I pray that when I get up, Lord, please, even if it's just one word, let it minister to them. I want to be able to, I pray that God help me to be able to teach them as well as they teach me. How can you minister to someone if you aren't being ministered by someone? You have to be ministered by someone. Again, I pray that I can minister to you guys always. I pray that you are being equipped, that you're learning for what the Lord's given to me. Look what he says in verse 13. He says, now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I may have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. And I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I love this, the fact that Paul said he's a debtor to everyone. Not just to some, but to every. You know how it is. How many of you know how it is to feel to be in debt to the world, to credit cards, to finances? It's an awful feeling. I know I've been there. It's awful. Well, you get your bills and you don't have enough money to pay, and you're wondering, how am I going to pay this? For a long time, I was giving the world God's money because I said, hey, I can't give to God or the church because I got to pay my bills. And I realized that it ain't doing nothing anyways because they're still not getting paid. So I said, you know what? God said, you got to trust him. Trust him. He said, test me. See if I don't open up the floodgate of heaven and I pour it, fill your barns with plenty. And so that's the only place where God says, test him. And so I said, okay, I'm going to test him. And I just gave to God and I didn't worry about my bills. And you know what? My bills got paid. And it's so funny. I was so excited when my credit card, I had back in the 80s, I had a $12,000 credit card. Wow, it was a lot of money back then. And I paid it off. And I was so excited. Yeah, exactly what I did. And then my car broke down and I had to get a $3,000 transmission. Oh, credit card. Man, it's an ongoing thing. That's why I said with God, I'm just going to give to God. You know, just continue to get to that word debtor. In the Greek, it means to owe, to be obligated, to be bound by duty. In fact, the Greek meaning of this word, it can't really be translated in the English word, because it expresses more than just the English meaning, the English word. In fact, it expressed two facts here. Paul says that he was a debtor. Why? Because of that which Jesus Christ had done for him. What was that? He saved him. I mean, if you're going to be in debt to the Lord, let that be the reason why you are. Because why? He saved you. You're saved. You're not going to hell. He took you out of the miry pit. Isn't that reason for us to be in debt to Christ? The second reason is because Christ had called him to preach the gospel. He gave him the ability to go and do it. And this is the reason why Paul was in debt to everyone, because it was deep within his heart. He was compelled to preach the gospel. He couldn't do nothing else. He actually felt, as I look at his life here, that he owed the gospel to the world. And there was no way that he could keep it quiet. I feel the same way. Man, I am in debt to give the gospel. In fact, Wednesday we had the fire company come on. They did upgraded some of our fire extinguishers there. That's the one right there. And to make sure that we're in code with the laws. And there was a new guy, usually it was a guy named Hector, you know, and I shared the gospel with him and always brought the gospel to him. And this a new guy came, and I started sharing the gospel with him. Then he said, "Hey, Pastor, tell me your story." Whoa, man. Woo, man. I can't help but contain that, man. I got to let it out. So I shared my story. I said, "You see that North Park Theater back in 1978? I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I saw Benji in that movie. But he wasn't even born." He said, "Benji, is that like a..." I said, "It's about a little dog." And I shared the gospel with them, because why? I was in debt to do it. It was in me, and I couldn't keep it in me. I had an opportunity here, and I share with them. And he says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm Jew." He was Jewish too. And he says, "I do the rabbi. Listen to the rabbi, and I do keep this certain commandment here." He says, "But he goes, you know." He says, I'm open to what God wants to do." I said, "Do you believe in heaven?" "Yes." "Do you believe in hell?" "Yes." "Do you believe if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven?" "Pastor, I'm going to be honest, no." I said, "If God says, got a ticket here, he says, hey, if you want to, here's a free ticket to heaven, would you take it from?" He said, "Of course I would." I said, "Then why don't you challenge God?" So close. So close. And he was like, here he is thinking about it. Here he is, he's thinking about it. And then Tony walked out, and I said, "Oh, hey, this is Pastor Tony." Pastor Tony saw the Wizard of Oz in that theater. The original one. The back one where when they talked, the words came out. I'm amazed by that, because I thought it was always on TV. And he went, "Wow." And then Tony shared the exact same confirmation that I shared with him. And so I couldn't help it. I had to share with them. And he says, "Well, Pastor, I'm not ready, but give me your number. And you know what? I'll call you." I say, "Hey, if you don't do it, I won't see you for a whole year, because that's when they're going to come out. But if you decide to, give me a call. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to, walk you through and everything." But man, I just had to pray, and I had to give the gospel. I think of the two disciples on Emmaus Road when they were walking in Luke 24, and Jesus was there. They didn't recognize him, and Jesus was walking with him, talking with him. He was sharing the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New, and he's sharing the word of God. And then when their eyes were open, they realized it was him. They said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us?" Their heart just was, it burned within them. Their heart was on fire for the Lord. But it was the word of God that did it. Therefore, here it is. You want your life to be on fire for the Lord? Very simple. It's the scriptures that's going to do it. Just do it. Just get it and read it. And not only be hearers of it, but be doers of it. I love what Jeremiah said. He said, hey, you know, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his words were in my heart like a burning fire, and it was shut up in my bones that I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He could not do it. And then last, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin, they said, hey, stop talking and teaching in this name. He said, Peter and John said, answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I mean, you guys have seen a lot and heard a lot what God has done for you, right? Then don't contain it. Share it. How can you not share it? People need to hear it. People need to know it. People need to know that they too can change. And then last, I'm going to just read this, but we're going to end right here. Look at verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greeks. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we'll pick up this next week, talking about how Paul gives us a few reasons why he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of your faith in God. Don't be ashamed of your witness and what God has shared. You got to share it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.